But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So there's many things that we do not know about heaven, but because it's beyond our ability actually to comprehend it, I think. But one thing we can be sure of is that it's going to fulfill our greatest longings. It'll dazzle us with its beauty. It'll obliterate our greatest problems with its power and with its splendor. It'll be greater than anything we can imagine or dream of. It'll be a place where love and joy will reign unspoiled. And God is preparing all this for us. Isn't that wonderful? Now, first of all, tonight, heaven will be real. Heaven will be real. John 14, verse 3 says, "And if I go to prepare a place for you," and so Jesus called heaven a place for you, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, unfortunately, heaven is met with bad press by the unsaved world. People see heaven as sitting on a cloud and wearing a halo and little angels sitting around and they're strumming on harps. Others see it as an unending church service where you just sing for all eternity. Some think of it as a celestial retirement city. And so, no wonder people see it as a place of numbing boredom sometimes. Or secretly say to themselves, "Is that all there is?" No, heaven's real. Why would God take the trouble to create a new earth if none would live in it? Why would we be given new bodies if we're not going to live in a material world? Heaven will be a real place with real, meaningful, rewarding work for us to do. Heaven will be the fulfillment of the Lord's prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then secondly, heaven will be right. Heaven will be right. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." I think the older we get, the more we think about heaven. And I think that the older people get in general, the less that we are allured by the world. And then at the very end, many of us experience such pain from cancer and various different things that that'll take our life, that death becomes a release from the world, and we long for our true home even more. Heaven will be right. It'd be a place of righteousness or rightness, and all the wrongs of the world would be made right. It'd be a place where everything evil is absent and everything good is present. Everything sad will be gone. Only joy will exist. Everything disappointing will disappear, and everything exciting will appear. Everything depressing will be gone, and everything hopeful will come. Everything violent will be gone. Everything born of love will prevail. Every unfaithfulness will be in the past, and steadfast loyalty will be in the present. Everything detestable will be gone, and everything desirable will abide with us. Wholeness will take over our lives. Every wrong done to you in this world will be made right. Every injustice will be met with justice. Every sorrow will be reversed, and joy will wash over you like a waterfall. Isaiah 65 and verse 17 says, "For behold, I create new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come to mind." Not only that, but heaven will be relational. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 52 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Of course, that's in half the nurseries in America. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." In 1991, Eric Clapton lost his 5-year-old son. Eric Clapton had an apartment in New York City, and on the 49th floor. And his 5-year-old son somehow got out to the ledge, and he fell. He lost his son in a terrible, terrible accident. And Clapton poured out his grief in a song, and he wrote this. He said, entitled "Tears in Heaven," and in the song he writes this: "Would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? Would you be the same if I saw you in heaven?" Well, that's the question a lot of people would like to have answered, isn't it? The truth is, you'll meet again, friend, if you're saved, and be with each other for all eternity. And our relatives will not be lost. They will be regained and renewed. We will experience these relationships on a much higher level, and a much higher level than we've ever experienced in this life and in this world. Our relationship with God will be healed as well. No more will our love for God be compromised by selfish love for ourselves and an enchantment with the things of this world. Our love for God and for our relationships with Him will be unspoiled, perfect in every way. There will be nothing between us. No separation, and our sinful nature will be taken away from us. And by the way, while we're on that subject, can you think of a tear or a sorrow that in this world that is ultimately not caused by sin? And can you imagine a world without sin? What that would be like? Well, in heaven, no sin. We'll no longer struggle with sin and temptation. Our relationships with God will be intimate. And so intimate that the book of Revelation describes it as a bride coming to her husband, full of love and passion, with her arms wide open. Heaven will be rewarding. Revelation 22 and verse 12 says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Let us say that you have done your best, the best you could, to live for the Lord in this world. Yet nothing has gone right for you. Your health is bad. Your finances is worse. Your children have made nothing but bad choices in life. And your relationships are unfulfilling. And you want to say with the psalmist in Psalm 73 and verse 13, "Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence." It all seems so unfair, doesn't it? Where's the justice in all of this? because one has sacrificed. Well, justice is not far away. Justice is not far away, my friend. But it's not going to happen here. It's going to happen in another place. Justice doesn't always come in this world. The world's full of injustices. The world's full of things that are wrong and should not be. But it'll all be made right one day. Accounts will be settled in another place and another time. Every sacrifice you've made will be rewarded. Every sorrow that you have experienced will be dispelled with countless joy. Every rejection will be overcome by an explosion of love. Every work for the Lord will be rewarded. And finally, heaven will be the residence of God Himself. Revelation 21 and verse 3 says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God." I believe as we enter into heaven, we will say, "This is the land I've been looking for all my life." And the reason why we love the old earth so much was that actually, sin-tainted and fallen as it is, heaven is still, or rather the earth is still, a little touch of heaven. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let him that heareth say, "Come." Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. So tonight, friend, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you can do that right now. That's the only way to go to heaven. There's only one way, you know. Through Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so let's all stand, please, and with every head bowed. I wonder if there's a man or a woman or a young person here tonight who's not really sure where they're going to go when they die. But you'd raise your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm concerned about my own soul." Is there someone like that tonight? Just raise up your hand. Father, thank you for your goodness and mercy. We pray that you'd save the lost, encourage Christians, help us to spread the gospel to far and wide. We'll give thee the presence in Jesus' name. Amen. We give thee the glory in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, okay, I'm going to draw for you. Let's have all the lights out, please, and I'll draw this picture. The bridge, and the bridge I've drawn several times. This is another version of it. And there's only one way you'll see in this picture. Father, we're thankful for every blessing you've given to us, most of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. Help us to share the gospel with everyone possible. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, have the lights, please. Okay, you're dismissed.